Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the intervention by the European Central Bank to buy Spanish and Italian bonds, which gives the long and painful euro crisis a temporary reprieve and is surely welcome news in the White House. Thomas Ferguson, a member of the advisory board of George Soros' Institute for New Economic Thinking, joins us to discuss this temporary fix that has left Germany's Bundesbank and Bundestag fuming. Then we will speak with political economist and activist Gar Alperovitz about the recently concluded Republican and Democratic conventions and the home stretch the campaigns are now entering, with the Romney campaign running the old Bill Clinton-James Carville 1992 campaign, It's the Economy, Stupid. We will discuss this strategy and a possible counter-strategy as the latest dismal reports on jobs numbers appear to help Romney. Then, finally, historian Jefferson Cowie joins us to critique the Democratic Convention and its failure to draw a sufficiently clear distinction between the party of the oligarchs, represented by an exemplar of the 1% Mitt Romney, and the party of the middle class and working Americans, whose main legacy is a social safety net that is under attack. We will discuss the reasoning behind appealing to a shrinking center while not arousing the downsized and outsourced 99%. I'm now joined by Thomas Ferguson, who is a professor of political science at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. He's a member of the advisory board for George Soros' Institute for New Economic Thinking and a contributing editor to The Nation. He is the author of Golden Rule, The Investment Theory of Part Competition and the Logic of Money-Driven Political Systems. Welcome to Background Briefing, Thomas Ferguson.
Hi there.
And this deal that was done last week with through the ECB buying up Spanish and Italian bonds obviously gave the markets a huge boost, but it's a temporary fix, and the Germans are fuming. My sense is that it's probably tied to this election, even because Angela Merkel is going along with it, even though the Bundestag and the Bundesbank are furious. So it feels to me as if they're postponing the real reckoning until after the elections. What's your sense?
Well, there are some reports, and you don't have to be too smart to figure out that the Americans would like that. It's not. And John Dizzard in the Financial Times, I think, is the best straightforward assertion that the Europeans have been, as it were, under assault by the Obama folks to do something like that. That said, you know, they undoubtedly, that is to say, in Europe, think it's in their, that the folks doing that, responsible for this particular policy, which is, in effect, most of the board of the ECB and a lot of the policy-making structure of the European Union, they surely don't need a whole lot of prodding to think of ways to try to prevent their entire system from collapsing. I don't deny that there may well be some aspect of what you might call a political business cycle from the U.S. here. But, you know, the last people who tried this to try to sort of just run out the clock before an election was Hank Paulson. That's very clearly what Paulson was doing in 2008, trying to get past the election. He didn't make it there. And there aren't too many powerful coordinating devices. The U.S. has some leverage on the Europeans through the IMF, and it has a fair amount through the Federal Reserve, although Federal Reserve help at the moment is down. I mean, the famous swaps that everybody talks about, those numbers have been dropping for some weeks, and they went down again last week. There may be. It would be foolish to think that they're not influenced by U.S. pressure, but, I mean, this is fundamentally a story in which, I mean, they're trying to deal with, they got their own their house is on fire. Greece may or may not leave the eurozone, but the prospect of Greece leaving could well take down Spain and or Italy. And the Spanish situation just gets worse and worse. In that sense, they have an overwhelming problem, and probably given where they're all sort of sitting in political paralysis among the governments, the European Central Bank's probably the only policy-making body that could move, so they did it. Now, this bypasses the question of whether they got anything but time on there. I am, again, inclined to agree with you that time is is all they've bought. My reading of this, I mean, is that it prevents probably a bank collapse or a complete collapse of the financing of one of the states, which would take out a load of banks, too, for a while. But this is basically a mission impossible that's been set by the European Central Bank. And you notice, back when they met, let's see, was it Mexico City 6 weeks ago or so? At that time, Merkel sort of agreed there wouldn't be any strict conditionality for assistance. The head of the European Central Bank, Draghi, is essentially insisting that any country whose bonds they buy, they haven't bought any yet, will have to do the usual IMF-style conditionality, even if the IMF may or may not be involved. That's sort of up in the air, too, but my bet would be they would be. And in that sense, they've gone back on that deal. That means the Spanish don't want to do it. The Italians don't want to do it. And basically, I think nobody's going to take too much advantage of this unless they are forced to by circumstances. That, I think, is pretty likely to happen because what the European Central Bank and the governments, at least nominally, want the northern European governments that are sort of forcing this, they haven't given up on the idea of reforming the South. And so they're telling the South, to keep cutting their budgets, more and more austerity. And they're offering to support them while they do that. Difficulty is they're not getting any growth there. They're all sliding into recession. This is a mission impossible. And the notion that they can just keep cutting budgets, I don't see it. I don't see it in Spain. I don't see it in Greece. And it's plain that the Italian political coalition that supports Monti just barely is breaking down now. So my take is that they have effectively substituted bank collapse for bank collapse or the collapse of a state. They are now just substituting a sort of growing political risk in each of these countries, and one of them is going to knock over. I think it's, in other words, you'll see serious unrest and force the abandonment of the austerity program. Then they're going to be just sitting there, and the fun thing to sort of for everybody to figure, fun in a sixth sense, will be, what's the European Central Bank going to do at that point? How many bonds will it have bought? This is also a formula in which they can lose a ton of money. In that sense, I don't see this adding up to any consistent plan to get out of it.
Well, Tom Ferguson, my understanding is that the breakthrough by Mario Draghi, the president of the European Central Bank, couldn't have happened without diplomatic arm twisting from China and the U.S., and that President Obama has found a kind of a soulmate, if you will, in Monti, telephoning him regularly and treating him as a de facto president of Europe, and putting the United States behind this deal. And of course, the whole dynamics in Europe, I think, changed, did they not, with the defeat of Sarkozy in France, which sort of brought about the birth of what's been called the Latin bloc. In other words, to balance out the Teutonic bloc, if you will.
Yeah, but Ian, you're going to have to decide whether it's an internal change in Europe or an external pressure. I think it's fundamentally an internal change in Europe that's producing that. I mean, you can't push me on Hollande getting elected and then tell me it's really Obama and the Chinese. My take is this is basically determined inside Europe with, I certainly agree, U.S. pressure. But, these guys have reasons not to collapse on their own. They know perfectly well. And in fact, there's no logic to the Europeans sitting there and doing a Lehman Brothers in reverse on themselves. And in that sense, they don't need to be told that by the Chinese or the Americans. And they were pretty close to that. I mean, Italy and Spain were pretty close to dropping completely out of, private bond markets. I don't, incidentally, think they get back in. There. All that's happened is they could sell debt slightly cheaper. I think they could. Remember, this is an action that only works on the first 3 years, 3 years of debt. That is to say, anything longer than 3 years, they're not buying. And so the long rates are going to continue to rise. And unless, of course, they act, I think they'll act a bit. But I'll believe it when I see it. Every time they've tried to do this, typically the governments in the South give up. They squeeze harder, and then they sort of give up. And then just the thing that is killing, what's disastrous, is as to the extent they carry out their austerity programs, they slide further and further into a recession. So all they end up doing is their tax revenues falling, and they just fall further behind. The real problem with this thing is they will have to give up on the austerity, I think, to get anywhere. They're nowhere near than that. I mean, these folks are out on a mission impossible. And so this is, I don't think we're guaranteed any happy endings here. We will probably postpone any really big action until after the American election.
Well, you have to admit, though, Tom Ferguson, the austerity overkill has been pretty obvious, and it's also been hard to understand how recklessly irresponsible the EU leaders have been allowing the second pillar, if you will, of the world's monetary system to almost teeter on collapse and it certainly be in paralysis for over a year. It's just been mind-blowing to watch.
Yeah, it's exactly like U.S. politics was in 2007 and 2008, where the American financial system was, in fact, teetering. And Paulson and Bernanke, were going around very quietly using everything from the Federal Home Loan Bank Board to Fannie and Freddie to try to bail the thing out and get past the election. They didn't make it. My sense is what you're seeing here is the usual rule, which is everybody'd like to get past their elections. They'd like not to have to sort of bite bullets. And so they just keep going on with, stupid policies. This doesn't, and throughout all of it, they keep funneling cash and bailouts to banks. I mean, that's the common denominator here everywhere, is we try to disguise the enormous public subsidies going to banks while everybody yaps parrots the public line that we have to return to free market economics as we spend more and more public money on bailing out banks.
Well, just in closing, Tom Ferguson, there's been a pretty explosive response to the Draghi deal in the German media and at the Bundestag and the Bundesbank, saying, it's going to drive the Germans to the barricades. It's a blank check.
The Bundestag is going to have to sign off on this. And we get on the 12th of September, we get the famous decision from the Constitutional Court. My bet the court will uphold the sort of basic European stability mechanism, which is to be the complement of this bank policy, but it's probably going to add additional conditions on which will increase the German parliament. And here's my bet. They'll vote it.
They'll accept it, even though they're furious at the moment.
Yep.
Well, the Obama's dodged a bullet then. September the 12th. Is it September the 12th or November the 12th?
September the 12th is when, the complement, the central bank policy has two prongs. One is the European Central Bank action. The other one is the European Stability Mechanism, which is just basically an unsympathetic being like myself would describe it as yet another bank bailout fund, which is which may be used for countries, it may be used for banks. The real target is always and in all cases bailing out banks, one way or the other, directly or indirectly. That is under legal challenge in Germany. The German president refused to sign off on the legislation until the Constitutional Court ruled. Draghi is assuming in his plan that he announced, that Draghi being the head of the European Central Bank, he's assuming that mechanism is going to fall into place after the decision. I think it probably will, but with a hitch. Now, there is also the possibility, obviously, that it won't, in which case, in just a few days, you get a spectacular market reversal. But that's important to understand, that there's two prongs to this thing. And the European Central Bank is only buying in the secondary market. market. The primary stuff's supposed to be bought by that European stability mechanism, which you can think of as Eurotarp.
Well, Tom Ferguson, I thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, I've been speaking with Thomas Ferguson, who's a professor of political science at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. He's a member of the advisory board for George Soros' Institute for New Economic Thinking and a contributing editor to The Nation. He's the author of Golden Rule, The Investment Theory of Part Competition and Logic of Money-Driven Political Systems. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking with the political activist and strategist Gar Alpovitz about the Republican and Democratic conventions.
Money makes the world go around, the world go around, the world go around. Money makes the world go around, it makes the world go round. A mark, a yen, a buck, or a pound.
A mark, a yen,
a buck, or a pound. Is all that makes the world go around, that clinking, clanking sound. That makes the world go round. Money, 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 money.